You're listening to the Faith Unpacked podcast.
Welcome back to the Faith Unpacked podcast with Jason and Jamie. And today I'm going to deviate a little bit from our current series we got going on that we're talking about on the podcast here, as it relates to the common lies that we believe about God, about his character and nature. And we'll get back to that next week. But today I wanted to speak to one issue that is very hot button today and needs to be addressed. And that is this area of personal convictions, specifically as it relates to the question of COVID virus vaccines, the response to that. And the reason I want to cover this topic again, we've already addressed the topic of personal convictions on this podcast before, but I feel like it's a good time for a little refresher, because I feel like we've gotten off track a lot on this particular topic, this particular issue, with some people siding on both sides. And both sides wanting to make moral imperatives. I think I've seen this more often on the side of those who support getting a vaccine that is being provided today. And what you're hearing a lot, especially from a lot of Christian pastors, is that the Bible calls us to love our neighbor, and that's biblical imperative command. And I will say that I agree that the Bible does call us to, in fact, love our neighbor. We see a lot of this, for example, in Galatians chapter 5, verse 14. The Apostle Paul, who is quoting Jesus, says in verse 14, "The entire law is fulfilled in a simple decree. Love your neighbor as yourself." And of course, Jesus also states on occasions that we are commanded to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourself. But what's important to note is that the Bible does not say that loving our neighbor means getting a vaccine. It does not say loving our neighbor is not getting a vaccine. In fact, in the law of God, in his word, in the Old Testament, in the Jewish law, the Mosaic law, there's no similar command that relates to the idea of being vaccinated. You say, well, of course, the Bible was written before vaccines were a thing. Yeah, I get that, but God is sovereign, and he certainly knows and doesn't specifically equate the love of neighbor to a specific thing. And so it's more biblically correct in my mind to say that in spite of whatever our personal conviction before the Lord is, we are commanded to love our neighbor. No matter what conviction I may hold on any given topic, that does not excuse me from having the responsibility and command to love my neighbor. And so regardless of my conviction, I love my neighbor. That means I have to find a way to love my neighbor. And this isn't a crazy concept, of course, because we run into it all the time. We have the opportunity to love our neighbor in spite of personal convictions in lots of different scenarios and settings. As believers, there's a lot of things we do not do because it's out of line with God's word, and yet we still love our neighbors, and yet we still care for those in our community and around us. And even sometimes we have to respectfully say to somebody, hey, I would love to have relationship with you and be engaged in relationship with you, but we couldn't do it in this way that would violate, you know, my conscience before the Lord or whatever. And so loving my neighbor in those contexts is going to look very different than in other contexts. And so I would put it, the command of what sums up the law is to love my neighbor, and that is regardless of personal conviction before the Lord. So I will say, I do believe that the pastors who are running around saying that the biblical command to love my neighbor means that you have to get a vaccine, I do believe those pastors are misusing their biblical authority before the Lord and literally pushing their own personal convictions on other people under the guise of supposedly being obedient to Scripture. And so I will say, if there's any pastors out here listening to this podcast that are doing that, absolutely stop it. That is not appropriate behavior. And there is a difference between, you know, sharing some information that you think is important and telling people that this is them violating the word of God if they do not take this vaccine, because then they're failing to love their neighbor. There's a lot of reasons for that. Like, if this vaccine was something that was proven to be completely safe and was proven to be completely good for both the one who takes it and then, of course, the people around that one, then it would be a little bit different situation. Maybe then it's more easily said, oh, yeah, this is the good thing to do in terms of, you know, caring for the people around me. But in this case, that's not really the case. We're not sure that this vaccine is safe. It's brand new still. We don't know what the long-term effect of introducing brand new protein into our immune system, into our body. We don't know the long-term ramifications of that. We don't know the impact of it on the non-specific antibodies. You know, we don't know even if this vaccine really does help protect the people around us. In fact, I see a lot of people that have taken the vaccine have gotten sick. And also, it seems that people have exposed other people to the virus, even though they've been vaccinated. So it's not as clear-cut an issue as one would believe. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not pushing here a opinion, whether you take it, whether you don't. Both Jason and I agree that this is a matter of personal conviction before the Lord that every individual has to make. I've chosen, at least up to this point, not to take one of these vaccines, and Jason has chosen to take one of these vaccines. And I only tell you that because he's already been out publicly talking about the fact that he's taken it. And so we have, even here in this podcast, we represent both sides, but even then, we don't believe that it's our job or that we have a biblical imperative to command people to go one way or the other on the issue. We say, nope, that's between you and the Lord, and we're happy to have it stay there. And so to that end, I want to remind us of the word of God as it relates to personal convictions. And one of the best texts for that is in Romans chapter 14. So right after Paul's discussion of obedience to the governing authority, he talks about this personal conviction before the Lord, which covers all areas that are not specifically stated in the Bible. So everything that's in the Bible is absolute commands for us, for our good and for God's glory. And so we don't have to go and determine what our personal conviction is on areas that are specifically spoken to in Scripture. You know, we don't have to decide what our personal sexual ethic is because the Bible speaks to that. We don't have to decide on things like, should we have good character? Should we steal? Should we work hard? Should we, you know, all these sort of things, because the Bible speaks to these specific issues, and there's no doubt left in our minds as to what we are to think and how we are to live in light of the Word of God as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's all very clear. No, personal convictions are those areas that are not specifically spoken to in the Bible, but have moral implication. So personal convictions that commonly arise, or things that we often get asked about as pastors, are things like, should a Christian gamble or play cards or dance or kiss before marriage? Like, can a dating couple kiss before marriage? I would even say masturbation falls into this category. We get asked about that a lot. And if you listen to this podcast, well, you know, we've talked about these kind of things before and how these fall into the area of personal conviction before the Lord. And the reason for that is for some people, it's not good for them to engage in these kinds of behaviors. And for other people, it may not be a problem for them. It may not draw them away from the Lord. It may not draw them towards sin. It may not be a problem in their life and walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's why I believe these areas of personal conviction exist for those two primary reasons. One is what's good for me and good for my walk with the Lord is not going to be exactly the same as what's good for Jason. You know, we're both men and we both have similar struggles with temptation and sin in some respects, but then we're also different individuals as well. We have different life stories. We have different DNA, even to some extent, and have had different life experiences and different struggles with sin and temptations. And the result of all that means that there are areas that for my good in walking with the Lord, I need to abstain from some things, or I need to not engage some things, or I need to not do some things, or some things just offend my conscience before the Lord. The same is true for Jason, who has those areas as well in his life and places in which, you know, he has these convictions before the Lord. And it's good for them to be different as meets the needs of us as individual, you know, people. And the second thing and second part of it that I think is just as important is if God gave us all the answers in the Word of God, I don't think we would be as apt to seek after Him. These areas of personal conviction, you know, draw us to the Lord and cause us to really seek after Him in a special and unique way, which I think is very good. It means we're more dependent on the Lord, which of course we're absolutely dependent on the Lord. We just as sinful humans sometimes forget that when we have the answers provided for us. And so the Apostle Paul gives us really great guidance here in Romans chapter 14 to really help us deal with these areas, these issues of personal conviction in good, healthy, wholesome ways and in line with unity in the Lord. Paul begins the chapter by saying in chapter 14, verse 1, Accept one who is weak in faith, but do not argue about doubtful things. One person believes he may eat anything, but one who is weak eats only vegetables. The one who eats must not look down on the one who does not eat, and the one who does not eat must not criticize the one who does, because God has accepted him. Who are you to criticize another slave? Before his own Lord, he stands or falls. And he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. And so Paul opens up with, hey, don't argue. Don't fight over these peripheral things. Don't make it a cause of contention. Either because of the weakness of someone's faith, maybe they're new to the faith and they don't know how to handle this, or maybe this is an area of weakness in their life, in their walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe they are the weaker brother in this particular area, and as a result, they are not able to engage the way you engage it without offending their own conscience before the Lord. And of course, he's talking specifically in relationship to eating of meat. In that day, the meat that was sold in the marketplaces was very often already offered as a sacrifice to an idol. And so some, by eating meat, were literally offending their conscience before the Lord. They're like, how can I eat meat that's been offered to an idol? And of course, Paul addresses this in 1 Corinthians chapter 8 as well when he's talking about this. You know, he's saying, hey, these gods are meaningless, and the fact that this meat is offered to them is really meaningless. So don't ask questions about it, but just give thanks and eat the meat, you know, enjoy the meat. But of course, he also points out, you know, if you know it's been offered to an idol, then don't eat it, because you don't want to offend your conscience before the Lord. And Paul's doing the same thing here. Hey, one person eats, another person doesn't eat, and that's okay, because they are responsible to their master, the Lord Jesus Christ, and not to you. So there's a conviction that needs to be present amongst, you know, one who decides to either eat or not eat. And he goes on, you know, to further draw out this point. He says, one person in verse 5, one person considers one day to be above another day. Someone else considers every day to be the same. Each one must be fully convinced in his own mind. Whoever observes a day observes it to honor the Lord. Whoever eats, eats for the Lord, since he gave thanks to God. And whoever does not eat, it is for the Lord that he does not eat it. Yet he gives thanks to God. For none of us live unto himself, and none of us die unto himself. If we live, we live for the Lord. And if we die, we die for the Lord. Therefore, when we live or die, we belong to the Lord. Christ died and came to live for this, that he might rule over both the dead and the living. But you, why do you criticize your brother? Or you, why do you look down on your brother? For we will all stand before the tribunal of God. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow to me, and every tongue will give praise to God. So then each one of us will give an account of himself to the Lord. So he's really showing, okay, whatever your conviction is, make sure that it's solid in the Lord. Whatever you do, you're doing it for the Lord. And so if that's where the conviction has come in your life, if you are in a place of believing one way or the other, let it be because you've been brought to that conviction in before the Lord, knowing that you're doing this for him, and also respect that of your brother or sister. That doesn't mean to say that I have to agree with their conviction. No, I don't have to share it, but I do respect it, understanding that they are, as he says in verse 4, that they are a slave of Christ. And it is before their master that they give an account, not before me. It's not my job to determine whether what they're saying is true, whether their conviction is real, whether that is the case or not. But I do respect it, which means I don't lead my brother or sister to stumble in the area of their personal conviction. You know, I don't invite them or encourage them or argue with them or push them in such a way that would cause them to violate those convictions that they're holding before the Lord. And this is a real issue, because so many people want to do this. And in legalism, this is something that's done all the time. People trying to take their own personal conviction, instead of just holding it before the Lord, they seek to apply it and make it a moral imperative for all other people. And you see this a lot. We used to call this legalism when it was done, and the people who practiced it, we call them legalists, right? These are the same thing that the Pharisees did, where they would add to the law of God, they would add to the word that God gave, their own personal convictions, their own personal understanding, instead of just focusing on what the Lord was at work doing through his word. And we don't want to be like that. We don't want to be that kind of people. And so we are called to respect the positions that others have come to before the Lord. They are under his rule, They are his people. He's bringing his conviction in their life for their good and for his glory. And so we do nothing but respect that. Now, again, just as a way of reminder, we're only talking about the extra biblical conviction areas. We're not speaking to the things that the Bible speaks to, because there are times people will come and they will say unbiblical things and say that they are convicted before the Lord on that. An example is, most commonly you'll hear people come with a different sexual ethic than the one the Bible provides, and they'll say, oh, the Lord led me to this, you know, position or view. And we say, no, he did not, because that is not from the Lord. The Lord does not speak against his word. So we're not talking about areas that are extra biblical, or we're not talking about areas that are biblical in the Bible addresses. We're talking about those extra biblical areas when it comes to personal convictions. And so I don't have to determine whether their conviction is legitimate or whether it's truly from the Lord or not for them. I just simply recognize that that is the position God has led them to for their good. And so I respect it. I don't have to agree with it. I don't have to adopt it. I don't even have to share it. All I have to do is respect it before the Lord. And then Paul goes on to say, verse 13, therefore, let us no longer criticize one another. Instead, decide never to put a stumbling block or pitfall in your brother's way. I know, and I am persuaded by the Lord Jesus Christ, that nothing is unclean in itself. Still, to someone who considers a thing to be unclean, to that one it is unclean. For if your brother is hurt by what you eat, you are no longer walking according to love. Do not destroy the one that Christ died for by what you eat. Therefore, do not let your good be slandered, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Spirit. Whoever serves Christ in this way is acceptable to God and approved by men. That's speaking back to this point that we do not offend our brother or sister by trying to get them to violate their conscience or doing something that will violate their conscience. So if I know somebody is convicted not to drink alcohol, and to be fair, I don't drink alcohol, but if I know that is a conviction in the life of somebody, either because they struggled with alcoholism or there's some other, you know, reason that the Lord has brought them to that conviction, or even if I don't know why the Lord has brought them to that conviction, I'm not going to invite them over and serve alcohol. I'm not going to buy alcohol if we're having dinner at a restaurant, you know, that sort of thing. If I know that my brother or sister in Christ is, say, Seventh-day Adventist and doesn't eat any pork, then I do not invite them over and serve pepperoni pizza or pulled pork or something like that. We choose a different kind of meat. We choose not to violate the conscience of our brother or sister in Christ. You get the point there. So I'll move on. Won't keep pounding that point. But then Paul finishes out the chapter with two more pieces of encouragement. It says verse 19, so then we must pursue what promotes peace and what builds up one another. Do not tear down God's work because of food. Everything is clean, but it is wrong for a man to cause stumbling by what he eats. It is a noble thing not to eat or drink wine or do anything that makes your brother stumble. And he says in verse 22, do you have a conviction? Keep it to yourself before the Lord. A man who does not condemn himself by what he approves is blessed. So Paul's reminding us, hey, consider the motivation behind what we're doing. A personal conviction does not need to be shared with a brother or sister in Christ unless the purpose
is to build up, to edify the body, to edify our brother or sister, to build in them greater faith, to encourage them more towards the Lord. If my personal conviction will help do that, then I'm glad and happy to share with my brothers or sisters in Christ what I have a personal conviction about. But if that's not the case, then I leave my personal conviction between me and the Lord. My brother or sister doesn't ever need to know about it unless there's some way encouragement in it for them. An example would be a brother or sister in Christ who maybe is feeling like their faith is weak because they have trouble with something that maybe other people do not have trouble with at all. And so by sharing with my brother or sister in Christ, I'm encouraging them, hey, you're not alone here. The Lord has convicted me this way as well. And so we get to encourage one another to keep pursuing the Lord. No matter what God does in the life of those around us, no matter what they can handle in their conscience, in their faith before the Lord, what they are experiencing has no real bearings on how the Lord is leading me based on my needs before the Lord, based on my faith before the Lord. And so I share with my brother or sister to encourage them closer to the Lord, closer to obedience to the Lord, you know, all that sort of thing. But otherwise, if there's no edification, if there's no good reason I'm sharing, if it's just simply to build myself up or to make me seem so holy or to put pressure on somebody else to adopt my conviction before the Lord, then Paul says, keep it to yourself. And then finally, he ends the chapter, verse 23, but whoever doubts stands condemned if he eats, because his eating is not from a conviction, and everything that is not from conviction is sin. So it's actually a sin for us. If we're convicted before the Lord on something, then we are violating the Lord's command if we eat, if we drink, if we do whatever it was that God had convicted us not to do. So if we do that, we're literally violating the actual real command of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then that last part where he says, everything that is not done out of conviction is sin, Paul is not saying that the Lord has to personally convict you for every little random thing in your life, meaning, well, the Lord didn't convict me to go to the grocery store today, so I'm not going to go until the Lord convicts me to go to the grocery store. No, that's not what he's saying. What he's saying is, if you feel uncomfortable about something, if you feel like something maybe isn't right or it isn't good, then consider that to be the conviction of the Holy Spirit and don't act on whatever it is until you're sure before the Lord. Otherwise, you may inadvertently be offending your own conscience because you're violating what God has been convicting your heart of. And as Paul said, for you then that becomes sin. So this is how we handle personal convictions. My friends, this is how we should deal with situations like this vaccine. Instead of trying to pressure our brothers and sisters in Christ, instead of trying to force, instead of trying to belittle, instead of trying to say, oh, you're not loving your neighbor, or in the reverse, you're not walking in faith before the Lord because you took a vaccine. Either way, this is a violation of what the Word of God calls us to do, which is to walk and live in biblical unity, that is unity in Christ, respecting each other's convictions before the Lord and seeking the Lord to determine what we should do in all these extra biblical areas.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Faith Unpacked podcast. We're so thankful for your time. We hope and pray that these encourage your faith and walk with Jesus Christ. If you'd like to hear past episodes, you can find them on our website at faithunpacked.com. We'd also invite you to subscribe on your favorite podcasting site. If you have any questions, feel free to hit us up on social media, or you can send us an email at faithunpacked@gmail.com. And we invite you back next time as we continue to unpack our faith together.